even an agent technology. Go up in an airplane, 35,000 feet up. The pilot flies for about a half an hour or so. Then he puts in an autopilot, he puts up his feet, and he takes it easy. And until the alarm goes off, he doesn't do a thing. Just watch. If you're riding on a motorcycle, not a very advisable course of action to put it on autopilot. But the problem is, in life, that too often we go on autopilot. Things just roll very nicely and gently along in orderly fashion. And we can go through large parts of life that way without ever stopping to be hands-on. And that's really the very notion of Kiddush. What do we make Kiddush when Shabbos begins? Our whole lives revolve around Shabbos. Sheshes Yom Talmud. So, before Shabbos, we have to shop for Shabbos, we have to cook for Shabbos, we have to set up the table for Shabbos. You have to leave business early during many parts of the year to get home for Shabbos. We prepare for Shabbos. But we could come and experience Shabbos on autopilot. Then Shabbos comes, Shabbos goes, it's Sunday, next week the same, go right through. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam declared that we can't experience Shabbos on autopilot. So after all the preparations, then we first come. And there are two reasons for this. We say Kiddush. Zochar es Yom HaShabbos B'Kachar, Mitzvah D'Rais. We have to articulate and express that the Shabbos is beginning. Kiddush Shabbos. One reason is, otherwise we could just float right through. Well, I never stop and think what it's about. And the byproduct of that, the Shabbos can be experienced at many levels. We could experience Shabbos and celebrate Shabbos and do everything on Shabbos except celebrate the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rav Shalom Shabbat Ron, Zecher Tzadik L'Vrocha, put it in this fashion. Oynik Shabbos, it's the easiest mitzvah to convince anyone to be Mekayim. I opened up the Jerusalem Post one day, someone brought it to me many years back, and there was an ad from the Reformed Jews of Israel. And in the name of Oynik Shabbos, the television should operate on Friday night. The people should have Oynik Shabbos. Oynik Shabbos is universal appeal. Your Italian neighbor, he'll also join you for Oynik Shabbos, no problem. But Rav Shalom said that the problem is, it's true, in davening, before it says Kirei Oynik, there's Yismuchu v'malchus choshem reshavos v'kirei Oynik. Shabbos is to be Yismuchu v'malchus choshem. To remember, it's a celebration of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So Kiddush is to bring into focus that we don't go right through Shabbos. Can experience Shabbos and eat the chalim and do everything on Shabbos and not stop to think for one moment that Shabbos is Eichel of Asim Rishis. Shabbos is the Yisoid of our Amunah. The world was created. There is a purpose to existence. There is a purpose to our lives. Every Shabbos we come back and we don't take any chance about it. We talk about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Now we also have in Kiddush Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kiddush goes on. He yom tchila lemekroi kodesh, which will come back to zecher l'tzias mitzrayim. And this stems from the second dibros. In the second dibros, we find mention of zecher l'tzias mitzrayim in connection with Shabbos. But what is the association? Pesach, zecher l'tzias mitzrayim. I got it. Shabbos, zecher l'matzah bereishis. So where does zecher l'tzias mitzrayim come into Shabbos?
Right?
It has to, the Gemara. It has to have it. The Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim that in Shabbos you have to have zecher l'tzias mitzrayim. You have to have it. That's zecher l'matzah bereishis, you need zecher l'tzias mitzrayim, apparently.
The
Gemara says you need zecher l'matzah bereishis. And zecher l'tzias mitzrayim. You need both in Kiddush, Gemara and Pesachim. Yontif is more intimately tied to Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim, the Shalosh Regalos. They all center around events which are Yetzias Mitzrayim oriented. And why we have Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim and Shoshana and the Kiddush, the question the Rishonim speak about, it's not what you need to get into now. What's Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim? The Ramban, in a very famous commentary on the second Dibros, so famous in fact that the Tor Shulchan Aruch in the Halachos of Kiddush cites it word for word. And he tells us that to experience Masa Bereishis is not so easy. It's a very distant event, and an event that's outside our realm of experience. Exactly imagine what Zecher L'Matzah Bereishis is. What is Matzah Bereishis? What does it mean exactly how the world was created? You know, sometimes it seems very distant from us. Other times, for the Sufis, we may understand it well. But sometimes it can be a very distant and abstract concept. So the Torah tells us, focus instead on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is not so remote. Yetzias Mitzrayim is dealing in a realm of Am Yisrael, and a realm that we relate to and live as truth. It's easier to experience than Zecher L'Matzah Bereishis. But the Ramban tells us, wrong, once we focus on Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim, then we have to ask ourselves a question. How is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam had such awesome power to change all the forces of nature? Every aspect of the Bria has changed in the Ten Makas. How is that? The answer is because that's the Ribbono Shel Olam who created the world. So from Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim, which is easier, more concrete in our experience, we experience it. It's not only an abstraction. From that, we close the circle and come back again to the abstraction of Zecher L'Matzah Bereishis. That's what the Ramban tells us. But there's still a line in Kiddush which I challenge anyone to explain. And if you want to be a troublemaker, when you meet Jews, ask them, what shot in this line in Kiddush? This is the first of the Mikroi Kiddush. The first in a Mikroi Kodesh. Mikroi Kodesh of what? Yom Tovim, on Mikroi Kodesh. So this is the first. Why is it the first? Well, historically it came first. We observe Shabbos before the Chag. Perhaps that's not even so clear, because Mitzrayim, we had Pesach. Pesach Mitzrayim. And Shabbos first came in more of the Tzivah of Shabbos. And it's not even clear in that regard. But if we look in terms of all the mitzvahs that were given at Mount Torah, so it precedes all the Chag. But what difference would it make if it preceded them or not? We live in an age where we like records. All types of records. As long as it's a record, we're fascinated by it. There are Guinness books of records. Museums dedicated to records. As long as it's a record, whatever the record is. The guy that stood on his head the longest. made the record book too. As long as it's a record. And you want to tell me it's the oldest Jewish observance? As I say, we can question that if that's exactly true or not. But who cares? That's not what we're about. So what does this line mean? And once we have a shot in this line, why does it belong in Kiddush? This is the Meshech Chochmah in Parshas Bo, this week's Parsha, where it talks about Mish'aroysom, Suroys, B'simloysom, writes the following. I don't want to spend time on the entire piece, but he writes that Pesach, before Mor, Yom Tov, the Yisra Malocha and Yom Tov, was only a Loisase. Those we have recently explored this a little bit in the Shir on Shabbos. If Yom Tov is Ase, Yom Tov is Ase, the Loisase. The Gemara concludes later on in Psochem that Yom Tov is Ase, the Loisase. But he says that's only true after Shabbos is given. Before Shabbos is given, without Shabbos, Yom Tov is only Asei V'lo Yisasei. Why? He says it's only after the mitzvah of Shabbos, the mitzvah of Asei of Shabbos is given, that is the root of the mitzvah Asei of Shabbos for every Yom Tov too, is an outgrowth of the Shabbos of Shabbos. And in that sense, I think I would translate Ki Hu Yom Tchila L'Mikroi Kodesh, it is primary among the Mikroi Kodesh. Why? Because their mitzvah of Shabbos did not exist until we had the mitzvah of Shabbos. And that's the significance of this one. This Shabbos that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us is so significant that it lies at the very root of the Kedusha of all the Chagim too. It colored and changed the color of all the Chagim. The Chagim only had mitzvahs loisase. In the shadow of Shavuos and of Shabbos, they also share in the mitzvahs asay and the mitzvahs asay. That's how significant Shabbos is. It's significant in Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. It is significant because it is ultimately at the root of the Kedusha of every celebration that we have, L'Maaseh Shabbos. So this is the text that we begin Shabbos with, Kiddush. According to the Rambam, Havdolah is also Madaraisa. Zohar is Yom HaShabbos, the Kachon, it's both Nisoso and Bitsiyoso, at the beginning and at the end. Shabbos has an open quote and an end quote. It's to be set aside. It's Meyuchot. I wanted to look a little bit at the halachas of Shabbos. Maybe one more thing before. In Vayechulu we state, we can relate to in the sense that the ruchnius of the world is at its height on Shabbos. According to many Mefarshim, Ibn Ezra and others, that Api Kabbalah, what's the Neshama Yisera? The Neshama Yisera is an expanded capacity for ruchnius, for spirituality. Shabbos is a Yom Kodesh, where the Kedusha is more accessible, more visceral, than any other time. That's where your Kaddish is. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, the Kaddish of Shabbos. But we also say in Vayechulu, Vayevorach Elokim es Yom HaShvi, Vayekadesh Asa. It's Brocha, it's Kedusha. What is the Brocha of Shabbos? We could have given many answers to that question. If I open the floor, we could spend weeks giving good answers to the question. But the Zohar also asked the question. And the Zohar gives a very has a very special spin to the question, and a very special and even more special spin to the answer. The Zohar frames the question in very practical terms. If I taught the notion of Shabbos to Balei Tshuva for the first time, so I would expect this question, the question the Zohar asks, the Zohar's question. The Zohar says, where is the bracha of Shabbos? There's no parnos on Shabbos, so where's bracha? The elementary question that every person asks, if you tell them, so not Shmira Shabbos, don't go to work on Shabbos, so close the business on Shabbos, so what's going to be with parnos or hell? Most primary question about Shabbos. So the Zohar asks, if there's no panosa, what does it mean by Yavara Chalokim Mechiyam Hashemim? Where's the bracha? We would have given 100 answers to the question. We would never even frame the question that way. If I asked what the bracha of Shabbos is.
Maybe the
same thing by Shvias. Oh, we'll see. That's something. Well, the answer happens to be that the Zohar's answer is quite similar. The Zohar says, what's the bracha of Shabbos? The parnosa that we receive is an outgrowth. In other words, the derech ha-teva of parnosa is that it's an outgrowth of Kedusha Shabbos. Commensurate with our observance of Shabbos, we receive bracha from the Rabbi Shalom. And thus, the parnosa of all the days of the week stems from the bracha that we have from Shmira Shabbos. That's the meaning of Vayivorach HaLakim Mashiach HaShvi'i. We say it in the Chodoy B'Tur, Shlomo HaKavetz wrote it. Shlomo HaKavetz wrote, he obviously knew the Kabbalah. Ki hi mekoyer HaBracha. Shabbos is the root of bracha. That's the Zohar statement. We say it every Friday night, the whole line. Depth, the profundity that Rosh Hashanah Kabbalah included in that phrase escapes us until we lock in on the Zohar and we understand what Rosh Hashanah Kabbalah meant to say that Yehihi Mekoyer HaBracha. So now we have to realize in Shabbos, Shabbos is the very source of our bracha. One that lives Shabbos in such fashion transmits the totality of what Shabbos is to his children and to his future daughters. Baruch Hashem, I think that we, as a community, have reached a certain maturity in that regard. A generation and two back, one could still hear the krechts from Shmira Shabbos. The opportunities that were lost because of Shmira Shabbos. Even those that were happy and were determined to keep Shabbos, but many of them were still depressed. It's worthwhile, but I'm sacrificing something for it. And the realization that it's not sacrifice, the realization that the Rabbeinu Shlomo will give us bracha, dafka, because of Shmira Shabbos, is a certain sense that probably exists in the community that we have today. We don't hear people fretting, finding difficult, some losing Shmira Shabbos. It's not a comment that we will hear often in today's world. It's a maturity of our community. Different circumstances, a different maturity, a different education. I am never one to denigrate earlier generations in any regard. Every era has its strengths and has its weaknesses. But we also need to define for ourselves what they are. We need to understand our own time. Shabbos has achieved in our community a very special role. But every experience is experience. experience dafka through the halacha. It's not experienced in a vacuum, as an abstraction. There are mitzvahs, maisiyas, which make the experience real. It becomes a real part of life. And therefore, how we do the mitzvahs, maisiyas, is very significant. The more we machshiv, that we appreciate a mitzvah, then the more careful we'll be to attend to fulfilling it properly. When it comes to the Seder and Pesach, everyone has boundless energy to do it the right way. No problem. Why? Because it's such a special love of the mitzvah that there are no obstacles. The more that we understand Shabbos, the more that we appreciate Shabbos, then the easier it is to be mekayim with the mitzvah Shabbos. And I wanted to take a look at a few halachas of Kiddush, which are relevant to us. Reisha and Aleph Sif Yudibel Tzorach Lishtois Mikoy Shel Kiddush Kamalei Lugma. One has to drink a cheekful from the cup of Kiddush. The Hainu. What is this? It will call Shli Yisal Tenu Litzad Echad the Fifth. That a person should push it to one side of his mouth. The Yira Kamalei Lugma, but it looks like his cheeks are full. But in reality, it's only one cheekful. And this is most of a revis. It's an Indian that when we have Kiddush, we made the bracha, we have to drink from that kristal. And it has to be a share of Moli Lugman. Why? The Vidan Shechoshosh, the Tisyashiv Daito, a drinking which is of significance, which has a certain positive effect. So, number one, there is no necessity. This is a very, very common mistake. There's no necessity to drink Reish Kais from Kiddush. And the Chofetz Chaim, in fact, on his commentary on this halacha, points out that afilu lahamachmirim de lekamon and simen tofayim beisif tes. Even according to the more stringent view, which even on Pesach is not really lahalacha, it's the chumrah, not meikra adit. There are two views in the Arba Kaisis. The first view in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch really paskens like that view, is that one has to drink Rov Revias from each Kais, irrespective of how large the Kais is. The second view, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that we should have Rov Kos, or even there's a Mayel of the Chatzkila, and even to have the entire Kos, according to the first Rov Revias, or an entire Revias. But that's a din in Pesach. Pesach is a din in Shtiyas Kaisis. So there's a view, and we, Lachatzkila, tried to be Mekayim that view, to drink Rosh Kaisis, and the whole Kais is a din of Kaisis. On the night of Kiddush, there's no din of Shtiyas Kaisis. You don't have to drink Kaisis. And therefore, the Chofetz Chaim writes that chumrah does not at all apply to Hilchos Kiddush. So there's no necessity to have Rov Kais. One has to have Rov Revias. That's it. So you learned already one kula tonight, they're coming. Now, on the other hand, well, we have to be sure that we have at least Moli Lugma. So Friday night, that would mean approximately 2.25 ounces. And Shabbos in the daytime, about 1.5 ounces.
That has to be front.
Yes. Now, so we have.
How big is your cup?
On Friday night, according to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that's how the cup should be approximately 4.5 ounces, just shy of 4.5 ounces. And on Shabbos in the daytime, a 3 ounce cup is enough. It's really slightly
four
shy
and
of
half ounces, right?
A cup.
So you're saying you have to drink 2.25
ounces.
So you're drinking.
But that's, also, I have the minimum size cup. Suppose you have an 8 ounce bevel. You still drink 2.25 ounces.
But and the minimum size cup, you're drinking basically rove of your cup.
Because the minimum size cup is exactly your revius. So you have to drink rove of that cup. That's always where the difference lies. The difference lies when you have a coat that's rather on the large side.
So are we saying that a cake roll is 2.5 ounces?
2.25 ounces, yes.
2.25 ounces?
Yes. And in the daytime, we're a little bit more mankel. We say that an ounce and a half is enough. And like now, who has to actually drink? So the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. Suppose one person made Kiddush and somebody else, they obviously have to drink a little bit, that person, they made a burpee or go. But someone else drinks rove of the revius, one person. It's just as good if that person drinks it as if the Mekadosh himself. Since he actually listened to the bracha of the Mekadosh, he's no different than the Mekadosh himself. So therefore, Echad Me'am Asubim, as long as he was one that participated in that particular Kiddush, then he could be the one to drink the Rov Revius. Suppose the Balabai is not really up to drinking Rov Revius. Take a little sip. And the other person will drink Rov Revius. It's fine.
His wife?
His wife? She's also Jewish.
He's a person.
He also.
How does that work? Why does he have to drink even a drop?
Is that
he can't be moti someone else with a bracha?
No.
Why?
You made a bracha pre-Rov Revius.
That's not like a chila, though, right? Like a chila, the person who's a
Mekadosh. Tashtis. So the chachila is that the mavarach himself should drink.
That was something too. That though on Friday night, Shmuel with a chasam at Kiddush, they always give the kid a itty bit, and he doesn't drink himself.
Yeah. Kiddush and shul is a different story.
Okay.
Let's leave that. That's not for now. No, that's a subject for a different time.
Is the rov saying that if because the wife has a mitzvah deraita, she also can be
anyone, any of the ones that listen to the Kiddush. I mean, as long as, I presume a godel, it's 100% mechuyev. As long as they're a godel, any of the listeners to his Kiddush, the Shulchan Aruch writes yotzo. Pashtus is that mechatchila in the Kaddish himself should do. But if someone else did it, im loito, someone else, yotzo.
To them.
Now, if it's someone that wasn't yotzo with that Kiddush, let's say you have, a couple of families together, and each one makes Kiddush for himself. So one of the other guys, the other guy made Kiddush and he doesn't want to drink, so I'll make a burr for enough and I'll drink his wine. That doesn't work. It's only the people that were part of his Kiddush that can drink from it. That's the number one.
Only people that were yotze with him?
What?
Only the people that were yotze with him?
Yes.
But someone that was Yotze Kiddush already cannot do it.
No, that's not
what
I'm asking.
No.
That
doesn't
follow.
What's that?
Let's say on Shabbos day, someone was Yotze Kiddush already.
Yeah.
He's already in his middle of his meal.
Yeah.
And now you made Kiddush.
Yeah,
can you drink the wine?
No.
No.
No, he's not to be Yotze Kiddush with him. He could be Yotze with his Berah Priyagam, but he's not part of his Kiddush.
Because
he can make Kiddush for you.
Right.
Exactly. That's something else. Exactly. You can make Kiddush, but he didn't make Kiddush.
You made Kiddush.
He's Lamais, not part of your Kiddush. He didn't. And he could have. It's a different story. He didn't make Kiddush for you, but he's not part of your Kiddush.
What if he had Kavona to be part of your Kiddush just for the sake of drinking the wine?
Yes, to be Yotze with your Berah Priya Goffin, but he's not being Yotze Kiddush with you. I don't think that
he
would
can't be. He can't be mostly you for the drinking of the wine?
I don't think so.
In that case?
I would doubt it. That's what seems to me. But now that question, if it was actually Yotze with the Merah Priya Gofen and not Yotze Kiddush, that's still a somewhat gray area, which we could, you know, explore separately. Now, the Shulchan Aruch in Shita number one writes, Ve'in Shtiyah Shnayim et Tarefes, that you can't put together the drinking of two people. In other words, I'll drink part of a over of years, and you'll drink the other part, and together, okay, our team did it. So that one should not do. It's preferable that everybody should at least take a little taste from it. That's number one. Now, is the second sheet of the Shulchan Aruch. The Kavon Shebein Kulam Tomu Kamali Lugmov. As long as collectively they drank Kamali Lugmov, Yotzu the Yotzu, the Shtiat Kulam is Tarefis the Kashir. That the shtia of all of them is mitzvah. The ga'inim savrim, and the ga'inim hold shim lo toma mikadosh. If the mikadosh won't taste the wine, is lo yotzo. You're not yotzi at all. V'roi lochush l'divrayim. And one should be careful that, according to the ga'inim, that the mikadosh himself should drink. V'roi lochosh l'divrayim, and one should pay heed to that which they write. So the sheet of the goyim hanesh seivrim the bina she yittam amikadosh ba'atzmo k'modi lugmov. That the chatchila the mikadosh himself should do it, and nobody else. Between a tiku harbi achroinim lahalocha the chatchila yesh lizor b'zeh. That we should be careful that the Mekadosh himself should drink Rover of Yitzhak. We live on a fact to pick with them. It's such a harbor we shouldn't plead you allow you. That's the way he settles the halacha. So the Chathchila, the Mekadosh himself, is supposed to drink the whole Malay Lumpur. B'diyeved, a different person could drink it. And B'diyeved, we could have a whole team, a team effort. A team effort. So that is the way we pass it. Now, what's very interesting, so we have a principle that by a kosher brocha, that there has to be, somebody has to drink. That we can have a different person make the drink the rover v'yis, lav dafka, the person that made the brocha kiddush. Now, what is this relevant? It's relevant every time we have a kosher brocha that the mevorach should, in fact, use. Somebody is supposed to drink rov revius from the kosh. So normally, the one that is supposed expected to drink is the one that made the brocha himself. So that's from birchas hamazon, from our bris milah. Now we have one practice which we are not medactic about, which we ought to be medactic about. And that is by a chuppah, by an Averson and a Nesu'in, we have two kaisas yayin. So how much do we have to drink from them? Now, typically you see that the chosin and kala take the barest sip. So is this halachically correct or not? So we'll see. But normally the rav doesn't taste anything over there. So the goyim say someone else is allowed to drink the chatchila by everything else. Fine. And even if we put together that which the chosin and the kala drink, it's hard to get a rov revius out of that. So Ramesh, as Atzal said, there's a distinction between the kosher Eirusin and the kosher Nesu'in. In the kosher Eirusin, he said it's enough a team of kolder. The slightest taste is enough for the kosher Eirusin. Why? He says the requirement for that case is not midin of the gemar. That's the meaning of the Gainam. Consequently, there's no chiyuv to drink rover beers from it. As long as the time from the coast, that's enough. But the kais for the Nesu'in, that's Medina de Gemara. According to our text in the Gemara, we have, in fact, the Bar Priya Gofen in our text of the Gemara. So since it's Medina de Gemara, that needs to have that to they drink roiv revius. I was once at a chuppah, and there was a very prominent, a very choshev rov there. So after the chosid and kala took the little sip, he was standing on the side, so he drank roiv of the revius. But this is a halacha which is not observed correctly.
So
he's going to make a bracha after that? A roiv revius is a shayim. A whole revius, one has to make a bracha achrayta.
Right, a person should not really drink a merely roiv revius because he enters himself into a
sin. Whatever it is, I didn't see exactly, you know, I didn't
not
count.
Not that case, in general, kiddush, whatever it is, in general.
In general, it's best by everything. Like all the things that we drink, it's best to stay away from drinking roiv revius.
Right,
because it's a shiloh.
Under 3.
Anywhere between 1 and 3 ounces, there's a shiloh in the Shulchan Aruch later on, if one is mechuyev in brocha achrayin or not.
What?
No, I'm not talking about benching. Let's say it's in the weekday.
A weekday is no
kiddush. Well, let's say you drink anything. Anytime you drink between 1 and 3 ounces of anything, you're in the gray zone, in the twilight zone. You know, the halacha is unclear what the din is going to be in that case, because it's a machlokes. Because the shear for drinking is not spelled out in Shas. And there are a number of different shitas. There are some shitas that say it's mali lugmav. There are some shitas that say that it's revius, such as we have. And there's some shitas that say it's a kezias, a third of a revius. So there are 3 different shitas rishonim. And the Shulchan Aruch cite 2 of them. Believe in Siman Reish Yud. So we try to stay out of the gray zone, if we can. Yes.
So when the Rav himself in the Sarah Kedushin, the Rav makes sure he drinks from the coast Shal Bracha.
What?
When the Rav himself in the Sarah Kedushin, the Rav tries to drink from the coast Shal Masoan?
For a different reason, not for this reason. I mean, if it would be, I might drink from it too. It doesn't. In today's world, a Rav can't tell you has been holding what he does by chuppas. A Rav does Kedushin, doesn't perform his wedding so infrequently in today's world, it's hard to say that you haven't been holding. But, you know, you should make sure that somebody drinks Rav Revius, say Rachan Abba.
You think, though, that you said that someone who was Kashif who drank afterwards, you think he would have drank first because he wasn't the Messiah, the Kedushin. Now, we said that everyone should drink from the Kedushin.
Now let's observe 2 halachas about drinking from the kodesh. Number 1, lo yitamu ha-mesubim kodim sheyitamu ha-mekadosh. The ones that listen to the kiddush, or the ones that listen to the hamotzi shabbos at the table, are not supposed to taste before the one that made the bracha tastes. You know, there are chares. The name is kukim lekoysoi, if they're taking wine from him, sheshoifech, Mimeno the kaisers shabiyodom reikonim, whether he pours into empty cups of theirs, they don't have any wine, opagumim, or the wine was leftovers that someone drank before that. You not really should not be drinking for kaisal brocha such wine, so they needed to pour from his becher into it to be misakin the pagima, to remove the pagima. Hoyolahem kaisers yayin, if they had little mini kaisers of wine in front of them, shayin pagumim or shoy lishtois. Then they would be allowed to drink first. So first is according to our practice that the Balabayas makes kiddush and then subsequently pours off everyone else. So clearly none of them are allowed to drink before the Balabayas drinks. That's number 1. Also halacha, which is not well known. Yeah. Yudzai. Suppose they all start off with a little becherel of wine. Does he actually have to pour from his cup into that? So the Shulchan Aruch says no. And then can hoyu pegumim unless they are pegumim.
So somebody can have grape juice on the side.
Yeah.
Also can have
than one new beer juice.
Right, so he doesn't have to drink dafka from that cup. Ela im kein hoye pegumim, unless the cups were leftovers. So a storach lishba is l'chol kais v'kais, and each of their kaises, today she yishtu kulam kosher ain't a problem. So that everyone should drink from a cup which is not problem. Now that's, we're going to come to that in a minute. How it begins. Hang on. We'll get there in a minute. No problem, but we're going to get there. So since we're going to get there, so let's just wait a little bit. And then we'll take the questions after that, because some of the questions are going to get answered by what we're about to do. So they shouldn't have kaisis begumim. Now, what does it mean to pour into their cups to be misaken if there's a leftover cups? Before he actually drinks. Even though it's not mandatory, nevertheless, that they should drink from a cup which is not pogum. Now, let's first add two more steps. Suppose they drink directly from the kosher bracha, from the becha. There's a messed up word. It should be lo mikri mikos pogum. It's not considered that they're drinking from a kos pogum. Techashuvim to mekadosh gufa. They are considered like the mekadosh himself. If he pours from his becher into theirs, then he has to pour for them before he drinks himself. So again, if he passes around his becher and everybody drinks from his becher, then it's fine. But if he actually pours into other cups, it's not the original kosher kiddush, then he should not pour off after he drinks, because their kosher will be poked. So what I typically do in my own house is, after I make kiddush, I pour off a few ounces of the wine into a glass. Then I pour off a little for my wife. Then I drink from the becha, and then I give her a drink. Then I have two choices. I could pour either from the glass itself for everybody else, and if I want, I could pour a glass back into the becha, remove the pegima with that. When you add wine to it, it takes off the pegima. And then pour from everybody from that. But one should be careful that the wine that we're giving out to those sitting around the table is not wine that's coming directly from the cup from which we drink.
I want to know if it's kosher or not. I think after my kiddush, I pour for myself first in another cup. Drink it with the yeast or less.
Well, it says you could do that if you pour a revius of wine into the cup.
Which I do.
That you drink. It's a halacha only states that you should drink from a cup that has a revius to it. If you do that, the longer you have a revius, then you want mekayim all the days.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yes.
Is there any kind of mixture in there for people to drink from the actual wine? Well, if I just fill up little cups and there's not even
I don't know if there's a mixture in there, but there's a very niggly in there. They'll have your head for you. That's niggly.
Well, yeah, I mean, but is that just a minhag shtus?
Whatever it is, that's lemaisa or dishadis. According to the Shulchan Aruch, there's not seem that there's a reason to do it. More than that, the Alpi Kabbalah can't answer you. But the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef was a makubu.
Isn't there an image to show that we don't go by shtus, we do it to halachas?
My dear friend, life is a thing. And one should have the fortitude to be that which one can change, the determination to change that which one can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Could the Rebbe explain just one more time the thing with the pogrom? Could the Rebbe explain one more time after you make the kiddush, what you should do with the pogrom to avoid the pogrom?
If you make kiddush, you have a few choices.
Okay.
Either you pour off from your cup before you drink from it. And even if you don't do the actual distribution, but you pour off a bunch of wine into another cup,
yeah,
then drink, and
from,
then pour
from,
From your own becher, okay. From the initial becher, and you should keep a revius in the becher. Don't have it less than a revius
okay.
in the becher.
Then take the
glass and pour for everyone else.
And you can add some.
Yes, okay. You can add from the bottle to it. Now, you could, after you drink, if you have some leftovers, if you want, you could take and pour back the wine from the cup to the into your becher, and since you added fresh wine to it, it's not considered pogrom al pidin. You could do that too.
What should you not?
What you should not do is not drink from your becher and then take from the wine from which you already took a drink,
right.
Distribute that now to the little cases of everybody at the table. That's not what that's good.
But, Rob, if you add to your becher after you drink from it, can you then give to the others?
Yes, that removes the pegima. Mm-hmm.
So if I add something so that there's at least a revius.
Well, you don't need a revius at the end. The
even
long
if
you just have to add.
Something.
Yes.
Then I can pass it out.
Yes.
Got people worried about
oh, listen, sometimes you have them. I had somebody once at the table that went nuts from that reason. Oh, what do you do? You always do it the other way. What do you do?
You don't pass that which you pour it into from your bath, but you pass that same glass all around the table.
No, I pour it into a lot
pour
of
it
little.
Into little
yeah. Yes, it wouldn't help to pass that around the table.
I've been at home.
I understand a lot of things go on, but if you want to do it in the Chaskila, no Zuhada. Okay, I'll buy you some. We'll go a little further next week.